The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys!
Hello. Hello!
Welcome to Bring Your Own, a bookish podcast for romance readers. I'm Brandy.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Kayla.
And today, you guys, we are digging in to Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez. We decided, basically right after we read this book, that we needed to dedicate a whole episode to our thoughts, your thoughts, all of that. So we will jump into that. But first, what are we reading? What are we drinking?
Kayla Ann, why don't you go first?
Oh. Brandy never goes first. Let's let Brandy go first.
Yeah, Brandy, you go first. Brandy goes first all the time. Okay. She'll be like, can I go? She'll say, can I go?
Really? I feel like it's you that's always like, I'll go first.
So black
I feel like we all
first.
Have a different idea. We all have a different idea of who goes first. What'd you say?
Nothing. You didn't catch it. Don't tell. Don't repeat it, listeners. She'll catch it when she has to listen to this episode back. Listeners, you go tell us who usually goes first.
That's so funny. Okay. So I am currently listening to A Curse Carved in Bone, which 100% was inspired by a text that Kayla sent me yesterday. So I'm driving home from work yesterday and I get a text from Kayla that goes, hey, question. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And she goes, do you remember anything that happened in A Fate Inked in Blood by Danielle L. Jensen? And I said, not a lick. That's still true. I don't remember a single thing that happened in that book. However, Kayla did send me a nice little summary thing she found online. Mm-hmm. So I reviewed that and then jumped into A Curse Carved in Bone. Thank you, PRH Audio. I love you. And the narrators are really good because they're like Nordic narrators, so they have an accent. It's very fun, a very fun listening experience. Literally only like 10% in, because last night I bumped Sweet Obsession by Katy Perry.
You had that space journey on your mind.
Sorry, I had the space queen herself, Katy Perry, stuck in my brain. Loser. Sorry, Katie Robert.
That's I was like, Katy Perry has a song called Sweet Obsession? Like,
no. Sweet Obsession by Katie Robert. I had that going at 3x speed.
Dang.
Last night, because you guys, I am just holding on for my life at this point, trying to get to the next book, Zeus and Hera. I just don't care about any of these characters. I don't think she's doing a good job writing the romance. And I feel like the plot is just drawn out. Like, it's been the same plot for 8 books. Like, somebody's attacking the city. Like, that's not true, but probably for the last 5 books, it's been what's happening, somebody's attacking the city. I don't know. Anyways, that was not good. So I am barely started A Curse Carved in Bone. So sorry, I had to double check that title. Obviously making a huge impact. I am drinking a brown sugar London Fog.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Your brown sugar London Fog is my chai latte or Coke Zero, I feel like, now.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm.
I just started A Curse Carved in Bone? Blood?
You what did?
A Curse Carved in whatever.
A Curse Carved in Bone.
Yes, I did. I had to read a summary before jumping into this next book, and I didn't want to read the first book again, like the full thing. So I was just like, let me find a summary online.
Too
so
long.
Yeah, it was too long. So I did start that, but enjoying so far. I'm not far in. And then I just finished a book that was listener recommended. Actually, Christine recommended this book to us on our Instagram. It was a post from Avon that she sent that really convinced me to read it, because it was like comparing it to a lot of different things, like the show Nobody Wants This or The Office, Carabas Stone's Ready or Not. Like, the guy is very similar to Shep Baldur. And it was, I read it, immediately requested it on NetGalley, and I really, really liked it. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's called The Best Worst Thing by Lauren Oakey. And I don't want to like give too much away about the plot, but it's basically about this this gal that has been suffering a lot of fertility issues with her and her husband. And she finds out that he has been cheating on her this whole time. And so she kind of runs back into an old flame, not even really a flame, it's just a friend. And they immediately hit it off. And it's a really beautiful story that I really enjoyed. So, yeah.
Slay, what are you drinking?
Oh, I'm finishing off my chai and I have water, classic. So, yeah.
Nice. I am still reading Some Kind of Famous by Ava Wilder, but I'm letting it sit. I'm letting it marinate because once it's over, guys, it's over. I'm never going to get to read this book again for the first time. And reading with my eyeballs lately has just been not fun. Oh my God, I'm enjoying everything I've read with the book, but it's just like I get tired, you know, like I'm like, oh, sleepy time. Mm-hmm. I've been reading at the gym while I'm like on the Stairmaster. And I bring my clicker with me, but that's like, I only do that for like 20 minutes and then I get off. So, but I'm not that girl who reads at the gym. So fuck with me. and then I'm listening though to Deep Cuts by Holly Brinkley. I was sent an arc of this book last November. Like, okay, cute. Like, you know, I get arcs sent. We all get arcs sent all the time. And then Kayla ended up listening to the audiobook when it was put on PRH Audio. Thank you at PRH Audio because I'm also listening on PRH Audio. And for those who don't know, PRH Audio, Penguin Random House Audio.
Those are our besties.
Lots of audiobooks to choose from. That sounds like an ad, but we really love them. Like, it is the best. I think it's, I can speak for all of us. We've said this before. It's our favorite influencer program that we're a part of. So if you want to apply, you should, because it's not just like, you don't have to have a big account or anything to get in. Like, small creators, big creators, like, they accept a lot of different people. So if you want access to free audiobooks, that is a great resource for you. But yeah, I'm listening to Deep Cuts by Holly Brinkley on there. It is so fucking
Brinkley.
Good.
I kept calling Brinkley. Her Brinkley. It's Brinkley.
Yeah, there's no N in it.
My bad. No, there's no N. It's a CK.
But when you look at the name, like, your brain automatically puts an N in it because that's just like the nature of it.
I know.
It is so good. Like, I think if you just like love music and just, I don't know, like, it's good. The guy is so frustrating. He's actually like pissing me off so bad. Like, if you crashed out with Heath with The Favorites, I think Heath is nothing compared. This guy is actually like
really
pissing me off. Yes, Kayla, like, he's pissing
I don't know.
Can I, Brandon,
no,
you
don't
read
spoil
it?
Anything. Don't spoil anything. Don't spoil
probably.
Anything.
Okay, don't I won't it. Say anything. But Kayla, like, I would rather. He's pissing me off. He's pissing me off so bad, and it's like, fuck, like, get your life, like, anyways, but I'm really liking it, like, a lot. The narrator is so good, and there's just a line that I keep thinking about, like, how she describes, like, an actual deep cut from an album and, like, what that means for her, and I just keep thinking about that. And yeah, if you love music and you love drama and you love two people who just for the life of them need
can't
to figure their shit
together.
Out
yeah
that will be the book for you. And yeah, really enjoying it. I am drinking, who wants to guess it?
An Alani New.
Yes, an Alani New cherry slush flavor. I just tried their new sherbet flavor. You guys, it literally tastes like sherbet ice cream. I was shook. Sherbet isn't ice cream, sherbet is sherbet, but it tastes like sherbet, like rainbow sherbet. It's so fucking good.
Kayla's face.
Not for me. No, thank you. I don't like sherbet.
Okay. Oh, you know, okay. Well, you don't like it. Do you like sherbet, Brandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you would like drink. It is very sweet when you get it, like when it hits your teeth, but there's no sugar in it. I don't know. It's good. Like, I really liked it.
Love.
Yes.
Okay, before we jump into Say You'll Remember Me, we did want to take a quick pause to tell you guys a couple things. So first, you may have noticed a couple changes in the podcast over the past couple of months. You may have started an episode and been like, that's not Kayla and Brandy's voice.
Jump scare. Kayla, why is a man talking?
Kayla, Brandy, and Kendra. Yeah, why is a man talking? Oh my God, that's not the girls. That's not my girls. We do have ads on the podcast now, if you have noticed. And that is because of your guys' support and listenership. We've really wanted to grow this podcast over the past, you know, couple years that we've been doing this now. And because of you guys, we've been able to do that. And so we really, really appreciate that so much. And I know nobody likes ads, but again, we just really appreciate all the support you guys have given us over the past couple of years. And yeah, as we continue to grow, you guys can grow with us, and we love you guys so much. And we have another fun announcement with that. So Kendra, do you want to tell them about it?
Yes, we are finally launching a Patreon. I know, like, that's today. Right. Like, oh my God. Like, it is
literally, it's
out
today
in the world. It will be linked in the description. So I'm just going to quickly run through what you're going to be getting from the BYO Patreon, because as of right now, we will have two tiers. And like Kayla was saying, we love doing this podcast and we want to keep doing it. And so any support that you guys give us, whether it's just listening with ads on whatever platform you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or maybe helping us out on Patreon, it means the world to us because we love doing this and we want to continue to do it. And yeah, so tier number one on our new Patreon is called the group chat. You're a fan of Bring Your Own Podcast and want us to keep the show on the road for as long as possible. As a member of the group chat, you will get access to the following exclusive Patreon chat channels to yap with us and fellow BYO besties about episodes, books, what we're reading. I am notorious for like not replying to DMs on Instagram, so this will be a better place to get like instant access, because it's like I avoid my Instagram DMs a lot of times, but somewhere where I can reply to you where that's not Instagram, oh my God, hit me up. You can submit questions from, we have authors on the pod, which we will continue to do. And then you're going to be getting monthly reports on what we are reading, eating, playing, obsessing over, recommending, and treating ourselves to. That is like a massive trend we see on TikTok and Twitter and X Threads.
Just Twitter.
And we want you guys to have as much access to the things that we're loving outside of books. Get to know us a little more. That tier will be $3. And it's mainly just a general support tier. So like, if you just want to say thank you, we would love that. Now, tier number two, the bookish besties tier. This is like, I love this tier. Not to like, not to brag, but when we were putting this together, I was like, oh, this eats. We are taking our relationship to the next level. As a BYO bookish bestie, you will get access to everything in tier one. Plus, you will get new ad-free episodes of this podcast posted early on Tuesday. So if you never want to hear a man's voice, come be a bookish bestie. And you will get access to all of our previous episodes ad-free. So if there's an episode that you love that you just want to run it back a few times, you will be able to do that without ads. And then you will get early author / guest reveals. You will have a Bookish Besties only chat to suggest books and drinks for us to read and try. Kayla just mentioned that she read a book by a listener today and loved it. If you want these two to finally try the Sherbert Alani New, go vote for it in the Patreon. I would actually love that. And then you will have close friends access on the BYO Instagram. So when I am crashing out in the middle of the day at work, guess where I'm posting that? On the BYO close friends. And then you're going to get weekly reports instead of the monthly reports from us of what we're doing throughout the week, what we're reading, eating, obsessing over, treating ourselves to. And then you'll have access to a Q&A with us to get us to get to know us on a more personal level. Brandy's getting married. Brandy, what's the tea on the wedding? Oh my God. Go to the Patreon, find out. Why has Kendra been so fucking busy this year? Go to the Patreon, I'll tell you. Kayla Ann, house to house. Don't say it here. Go to the Patreon. She'll tell you. And obviously, you guys will still hear from us on our personal Instagram accounts, but this is just a way for us to be more intimate with people that we know actually care, and just share a little more, and another way for us to keep this podcast going for as long as possible and grow it. We have big plans and we want to make those plans happen, and anything that you want to do to support us means the world to us, even if that means continuing just to listen to these episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And it's not launched yet, but very, very soon we will be launching a book club on the Patreon. Yay! Which people have asked us to do in the past, and we're finally doing it. We just need a little bit more time, but that will also be a future tier, and I'm actually very excited about it because we'll have each other read books that we have been begging each other to read for years. Finally, Brandy might be reading something finally that we've been asking her to do for a very, very long time, and it'll be romance focused. So contemporary romance, romanticy. If you know what we read, that is what the book club will offer. And then maybe in the future you'll get access to, you know, Miss Brandy Girl's reading journals, and some other cool things that we will hopefully launch. But yes, that is all the information on our Patreon. It'll be linked below. It'll also be linked in our Instagram at Bring Your Own Pod. Go over, check it out. If it's not something you want to do right away, that's fine. Again, any support is better than no support. And thank you so much for letting me describe that. And it'll always be linked now in the episode descriptions.
Yeah. And again, just to reiterate, these Thursday episodes are staying the same. This will never change. Mm-hmm. So like, we're not
taking anything away from this.
No. We're not like putting our episodes only on Patreon. Like, that's not what's happening. You can still listen to these for free with ads now on Spotify, Apple, wherever else. So
there might be some bonus content on Patreon. Yeah. But yeah, the quality and care that we put into these episodes is going to stay the same. So again, thank you guys so much for allowing us to like grow in this way. When we started this, it was truly just like the three of us with Google and a dream. So we're just very grateful to be able to keep doing this. We love it. So
Oh my God, thank God for the internet. Like, we wouldn't even be here without the internet.
Sick and twisted. We would have lived 15 minutes from each other and never known it until you moved back to Texas.
Oh my God. I was about to make a very morbid joke, but not the time and place. So oh my God. Should we jump into Say or Remember Me?
Yeah. Let's do it. So jumping in, let's start off by just talking what Say You'll Remember Me is about. So Say You'll Remember Me by Abby Jimenez follows Samantha and Xavier, and their first meeting is when Samantha takes a kitten that she found into Xavier's veterinary office because he is a vet with his own practice. And she's like, something's wrong. I just want to get him checked out because she found this cat. And Xavier is very quickly like, she doesn't have a butthole, which I've seen people crashing out about this on the internet, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But there's just like chemistry, and Xavier asks her out on a date and she agrees. They go on this magical first date. Very quickly, they realize that it can't work out because Samantha's actually moving across the country, and they decide to give it a shot anyways. And we kind of follow them trying to figure that out and the troubles that come along with that. And we're also following Samantha become a caregiver for her mother with dementia. So it's also about her story there and Xavier trying to run his practice by himself and all that stuff. So that's just a very brief overview of Say You'll Remember Me.
This book was highly anticipated. Abby was fresh off of Just for the Summer, which was the third book in her Part of Your World series. It was her first New York Times bestseller, number one New York Times bestseller. The other two were also NYT bestsellers. So the anticipation for this book was high. She actually revealed what the concept was like almost a year ago. And we were excited because she told us like, hey, it's going to follow the random girl that you saw in Just for the Summer whose mother had dementia. And that scene was so important for showing the character's development in Just for the Summer. So knowing that we were going to get development on a random character that helped these two characters, we were all like really ecstatic. And like, you heard the title, like Say or Remember Me. We knew she's going to be dealing with a mom that had dementia. We were like, whoa, that's probably going to pack a punch. And it did. But you know, this felt more like an actual physical punch that hurt and not in a good way than like an emotional punch where you're like, oh yes, to feel that way again. And when we read this, we all read an arc of it last year. We were like, okay, not for us, but we think a lot of people will like it. And we put a poll up on our Instagram and you guys told us your thoughts, and a lot of you guys did like it. But I think overall the general consensus is that this book was a big swing and a miss for Abby, which was so disappointing because she was coming off of like a notorious high.
Yeah, and three straight bangers too.
Yeah, like that like really grew her readership. And yeah, it was just a big disappointment, but it made me feel good because I was like, ooh, for once, I am not in the minority with a popular book. Like, a lot of people just did not enjoy it. And so that's what we're here today to talk about. That is why we are here today to talk about why we didn't enjoy it, why the general public didn't enjoy it, and why people did enjoy it. So,
yeah, I said this before, but like on a previous episode, when we kind of briefly mentioned what our thoughts were, I feel like, I think very similar to how Brandon and Kendra feel, when we'll talk more in depth about that. But even though I didn't love this book, sometimes when I don't love a book by an author that I like love, like an Abby Jimenez or an Emily Henry or whoever else, right? I like am upset and like angry about it or something. I don't know. This one, to me, I wasn't like mad that I didn't like this book. I don't know. I don't really know how else to describe it. I was just like, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty
my favorite. Yeah, I was pretty apathetic about it.
Yeah, I wasn't crashing out like I did with Happy Place. Yeah. Like that, I was fucking angry. Like,
yeah, I'm not crashing out about it.
Yeah.
I think it's because a lot of the other reasons that people gave us that they liked this book, where I was like, okay, I can understand you. Like, I fully get it. It's just not for me. And so that's why I was like, fine. You know, like, okay, next book, you know.
There are a couple universal things that, like, even the people who did like it are like, yeah, that was a little much, and like this, and like, yeah, I don't know, it's been interesting. Like, I've even talked with like my friends who aren't in reader spaces online, like the librarian I work with, she was reading it, she texted me, she's like, I'm starting, I'm so excited. And of course I didn't want to yuck her yum, I didn't say shit about my opinions about it. And then she texted me the next day and she said, I'm at 70% da da da, and then we were like chatting. So I'm like, yeah. It's interesting. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
From our reader poll, 41%, actually, I think this is interesting, 41% said that they definitely did enjoy this book, which is actually up from last night when we put that poll up. That was losing by quite a bit. 32% said it was just okay, and then 27% said nope. So the majority thought that it was either okay or not good. The rest really enjoyed it. So, yeah, interesting. I just think this one is, it's definitely the most, I think, at least from when she released Part of Your World till now, it's definitely, I think, her most divisive release. Besides, I think most people don't enjoy her very first two books, Happily Ever After Playlist and Friendzone. So, like, this one is really interesting to see in real time.
I said that in the front office. The front office ladies are, like, my besties. I love them. They're all, like, my mothers. And they always ask me for book recs. And I was like, yeah, Abby Jimenez, she's incredible. But, like, start with Life's Too Short. Like, don't read the first two. Not worth it. And somebody in the office goes, I read the first two and I love them. I was like, never mind.
When I finished Say You Remember Me, I was like, oh, wait. I forget that Abby Jimenez is core group of readers, the people that she, that initially put her on the map, are Facebook moms, like women who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s plus. And if you are in her Facebook group, which I still recommend joining, she is very active in it. If you want to talk to her or talk to other readers that love her work, but the majority of those people are just a lot older than us. And Part of Your World, that series, it just gave her a whole new readership. So I feel like this book was more of a return to form. I don't know where I would put it in my rank. I think I would still rank it above IDNF Friendzone. But I didn't DNF this. So, you know, like, I rank it above that. Maybe a little bit above Happily Ever After Playlist. But not by, like, a lot. Like, both of these books frustrated me tremendously. But her writing has gotten better from Happily Ever After Playlist. And you can see that in this book. So,
because Kendra, like, bit the bullet for us and didn't, or, and read those first two books, Kayla and I haven't read those. So this is ranked last for me. Like,
Easy. 100%. Yeah, and like you said, Kinder, like with her writing getting better, there's still like a lot of lines where I was like, oh my god, that was really good. You know, like that was great.
Yeah, but it's just the story. I have highlights itself. In here. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, oh, 100%. Yeah. And we'll talk like more about that. But one thing I think that is really, really interesting, Kinder, is you said that like a large majority of her audience at first were like women in their 40s, 50s, 60s. That's how like she grew a lot of her audience. So like, you know, thank you to them for making her career pop off, right? We can mention this isn't I wouldn't consider this a spoiler yet because we haven't jumped into our spoiler section, but you've probably seen a lot of people talk about lines where she compares Xavier a lot to Rhysand, his looks. But what I think is interesting, and I didn't know this, is a listener pointed this out to us, but apparently on tour Abby said there was someone else that she wanted to compare Xavier to but thought that her readers were too young. Can you guys guess
who it was?
You did?
I didn't see this. Okay. Who was it?
It was Damon Salvatore from The Vampire Diaries. She wanted to compare Xavier.
Oh, that also is a big ick for me. I hate that guy.
I think he's so ugly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like care either way, but like I think that because it's the Rhysand of it all who like, you know, I don't know. I didn't like it either, to be clear. Yeah. But
I just think of that guy being like, get the FBI and start a federal investigation into who is allowing this to happen. Have y'all seen that clip of the guy who plays Damien Salvatore? It's so fucking funny. He's so ugly.
Damon is Ian Somerhalder, right? That's Stefan is the other one, right?
Ian.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I never watched Wesley, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I never watched The Vampire Diaries, so I didn't have a team. But
I didn't either. I tried. It was
Oh my god! Go to our Patreon and tell us if we should watch Vampire Diaries.
You don't think Ian is at all cute?
No, I think he's ugly as fuck.
Really? Maybe I'm thinking of him from his Lost days. I loved him in his Lost days. But
He was on Lost?
Yeah. Boone. He played Boone.
Oh.
He dies.
Anyway.
Spoiler alert.
I think he has such like a 2010s look. Like, especially when he was younger. Like, 100%. He looked like a guy who people thought was hot in 2010. Yeah. And that just, I don't know. Yeah.
But I think it's funny that she thought her readers were too young, because I would have thought that, like, her readers, if she had gone with that, I'm not saying she should have, but I'm just saying, like, if she had gone with that, like, people, I feel like most people would have known that. I don't know. But
Or, like, looked it up. Like, you could have a little bit more. Yeah. A little bit more faith. And, like, that's an actual face. Like, Rhys is a fictional character that people interpret in a million and one different ways, and I think that made it hard for Xavier, because then you look at the cover that has this like kind of half drawn man on it. Also, like, when the cover first came out, did Samantha have red hair on that cover? Does she still have red hair? Because in the book she does not. And I remember the whole time I kept reading, I'm like, when is she gonna be a ginger? When is she gonna be a ginger? And then like it never happened. So
Redid the cover. I remember her posting on her Facebook group about that, like the cover got reworked because the coloring was so off.
Interesting.
Which, by the way, when that cover dropped, I was pretty underwhelmed. Like, I thought the color choices and the combination of color choices, I was like, what? Busy, like teals and oranges and pinks. I'm like, this looks like my childhood bedroom.
And her name was really big, which I know she views as an accomplishment. She's talked about that, how like that when an author's name is really big on the cover, like that means like you're buying the book for the author, you know, so it's not the title that's selling you, it's like her name, which is really cool. And then, but it just made the placement of the title really weird. And then the title, everyone sees it and thinks of Taylor Swift. And another big criticism of this book outside of, well, alongside with the Rhys of it all, is all the pop culture references that she drops, which she's always done. I want, like, this is not a new thing for Abby. I just think it did not work
in
this book.
In the past, we've said like she's good at slipping those in without making them cringy, and I think she just like took a step too far in this one. Yeah, like it was 100% cringy.
Well, and speaking of a step too far, I said this before, I can't remember if I said it on here, but I've definitely said it amongst our circle, that like this cover itself, I think that they saw how positively people responded to the Dress for the Summer cover, which I love. It's super colorful and it's gorgeous, and it's, you know, they're moving and it looks beautiful. But this one, it felt like they tried to recreate that exact same thing with all of these different colors. And like, I don't know, I felt like they just tried to recreate it and it just didn't work.
It did not work.
And so that, you know, But like, yeah, when the cover came out, we were disappointed, but like, whatever, we were still excited.
We were
about
still
this
like,
book.
Okay, who cares?
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Like,
yeah.
It's Abby Jimenez. Like, who cares? Like, yeah. She's had bad covers in the past. Should we start then, so that way we're not negative Nancy's until a little bit later, with what people, like, what did we enjoy about this book, if anything?
Yeah.
And then what some of our listeners enjoyed about this book?
Personally, I actually really enjoyed the first, except for, you know, the Rhysand mentions and the pop culture mentions that were like pretty heavy-handed in my opinion. I actually really enjoyed the first probably 50% of this book.
Me too.
Like, I thought it was good. I know a lot of people don't like insta love. I considered it more like just insta attraction. You know, I didn't consider it like them instantly falling in love. They just thought, you're hot, we're hot, let's go on a date. So yeah, I enjoyed the first 50%. I thought it was great. You know, I thought Samantha's story with her mother was really interesting. I was really curious to see how they were going to make the long distance of it all work. Like, I had no idea how this whole thing was going to be resolved. Similarly to how I felt when I read Part of Your World. Like, you know, I was like, I don't know what they're going to do. Daniel can't leave. Alexis feels like she can't leave. You know, it was a whole thing, right? So I really liked the first half. It just took a huge nosedive for me afterwards.
Yeah, I thought the stakes were really good in the first half as well. Like, I completely understood why both of them couldn't just like pick up and rearrange their whole lives. I really liked the long distance relationship, the way it was written and the things that she wrote about the feelings. My fiance and I did long distance for 2.5 years when we first started dating. We started dating long distance similarly to how Sam and Xavier did. So I really like that. Like, most of my highlights, at least half of my highlights, are about like the feelings of long distance. And there's like, there's one specific one where it says, I was always waiting for him to be off so he could call, waiting for him to get a second to text me, waiting for him to watch the reel I sent him 2 hours ago when he was in surgery, waiting for him to come back. My life felt like it was on pause. And like, shit like that is like, I was so dramatic too, because Daniel and I started dating when I was 21. So like, I literally just felt like everything was just scheduling the next time we were going to be able to see each other and waiting until then, and then getting 2.5 days together and then having to do it all over again. So I thought that was depicted really, really well. And like the like yearning and the longing that you feel like when you're in love with somebody who lives half a country away from you. Dale and I were driving distance. It was only 6 hours in the car, so it could have been way worse. They had to get on planes to see each other. But yeah, I mean, we did that for a year when he was in LA and I was in Wisconsin still. So it was, it's tough, and I really appreciated that part of it. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like very similarly to Kayla, the first 50%, I was like, hell yeah, like this is great. I loved their first date. I thought that was like one of the most like romantic things, especially because immediately like it was like they were hit with the first like of many hits. Jesus Christ, of many hits looking back. Oh, I thought that was going to be just like one of the big blows, right? Like, I thought, okay, maybe Max will have like 3 big blows in this book. No, oh my God, that was minor. I love their first date. I just thought it was like so fun and creative. And I think Abby's always been really good at that. Like, because I didn't think their meet cute was one of her best, because I thought everything with the cat and the asshole, it was just like a lot at once at the beginning. But once we got to the date, that was really good. And then her being like, oh, I'm moving. I was like, oh, like, wow. Like, what? Of course, that's why their first date was that intense, because she was about to rip them apart. And I like that. The caregiver stuff, I am like 50-50 on. Like, a lot of it I did enjoy, because like, my dad's been a caretaker for so many people. So I've been able to like bear witness to what that is like. I haven't had to like directly do it like Samantha has. But then there are just certain choices that she makes that I would not have done. But we can talk about that a little later. But I know that a lot of our listeners wrote in saying that like, as a caregiver, this was like amazing. Yeah. Like, having this representation was just great. So
I totally respect that too. And that's one of the things we said when we finished this, is like, and like Kayla said towards the beginning of our conversation about this, is like, I will never fault somebody for loving that aspect of this book,
because
like, not only don't I have experience with it, but like, you get to decide if that's that was good for you. So I totally respect when people love it for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and just read off one of these this is a non-spoiler section still. So I'll read off one of these non-spoiler reviews that we got in our DMs from a listener who really enjoyed it. She said, "I absolutely adored this one and felt like a movie that's critically acclaimed because it doesn't get a happy ending, but of course the book does. I felt really overwhelmed with my feelings while reading this in the best way. And even though Yours Truly is always going to be an all-time fave, this is probably my second favorite by Abby. Feel like this book fundamentally changed the way I think about life, love, and the sacrifices it takes to have either. I think about this book very often, though I'm scared to reread it. I'm not mentally stable enough yet." So it definitely like left an impact on a lot of people, which like Abby's books usually do. So that's what she's really good at, you know. That was submitted by Neeti on our Instagram.
Yeah, it's I do love the conversation around sacrifice in this book, and you know, having to give things up to be with people you love. However, I do think like it was just so much. Like it was so much of that and like the pain. But I see that.
Another friend of ours, Bernie at A Paperback Life, also said that she loved the beginning. Even though it's insta-love, I just loved that we got a Mexican female main character and that it would be set in LA. Mm. And she then said that like Abby kept throwing hit after hit and then that's when she lost me. But a lot of people love that part. Again, I think the consensus is generally, if you didn't like this book anyway, I think most people really liked the beginning. And then just like as it went on, you were like, oh, okay, like let's see, you know. Then the Mexican female main character as well. She has a Mexican family. I can't remember if is it on her mom or her dad's side. That is Mexican.
I think they're both. I was led to assume that they were both Mexican.
Okay, because I know her grandma is obviously, but I can remember if it was on one side or another.
Yeah.
Katie on Instagram, Katie Brooks, also told us that something she appreciates about Abby is the way she gets professionals that work in the field she writes about to make sure when she's writing about difficult things that she's doing it accurately. She always thanks them in her acknowledgments, but she spoke a lot about this at her events. I thought she wrote about the family dynamics of caring for a family member with memory loss very, very well. I also thought she wrote about Xavier's family dynamics really well. Chapter 31 was one of my favorites when Samantha and Xavier are discussing their family. She wrote about this so beautifully. I will say, Xavier, I did actually really like it.
That's
to a point. Everything that happened with Xavier's family. Yeah. It's just like one thing that she does where I'm like, ugh, with him.
Yeah.
But everything else I thought was so good with his family. I think Xavier, out of the two of them, was my favorite.
Me too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also to Katie's point about working with professionals, Abby always working with professionals in the field. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a really good point as well. She always does that. So even like on her tours, on her events, she's always talking about the people that she talks to try and figure stuff out. Or like in her Facebook group, she's like, is anybody a so-and-so, you know, I can pick your brain for something. So really good point.
So now that we've kind of talked about what we liked, some positive responses that we've gotten on our Instagram, let's jump in to our spoiler section so we can kind of really get into the details of what made this one not 100% for us.
I mean, I think if you didn't like this book, other than the pop culture references, the recent references, things like that, I think that the big thing for people is just the trauma dumping of like everything that could have gone wrong did. And it just felt like at a certain point it was just like, okay, too much. Because that's not to say that, like, obviously in previous Abby books that there's a lack of trauma or lack of bad things happening, but it's done in a way that like doesn't, it just didn't feel like this one did, where like it was just punch after punch after punch after punch after punch, and it just felt after a while it was just like, oh, like okay, like this is
like
silly.
Jesus.
Again, this is me just like fucking speculating, but in the Part of Your World series, I think I know she received so much praise for how she did handle tough topics. So I think when she got to this one, it was just too much in that direction. And she lost a lot of like the counterpart of the lightness of her books that pairs well with her dealing with the heavier topics. Because, okay, I tried re-listening to this book or listening to it for the first time on audio. I could not do it.
But I got like 2 hours in, I was like, ah!
I didn't even get like, I couldn't not do it. She switched narrators, which I think that also like kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but whatever. But at the beginning of this book, she has a trigger warning. And she says like, though my books are rom-coms. And having read this and re-listening to that, I was like, babes, no one in their mom would consider this a rom-com, like, at all. And mm-hmm. it's like, at what point, like, did she have to, like, I think she should have not considered this to be a rom-com. Like, it could have just been a contemporary yeah. romance. And yeah. so then it just made, like, because it was just hit after hit after hit, when she tried to add those moments of, like, funniness, it never came through, like, the romance aspect. It came through, like, really cringy lines and, like, the pop culture references. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what
yeah.
soured it for so many people, including myself.
That's a really good way to put it.
There's another thing, too, that, like, when you were mentioning, like, my books rom-coms or whatever she said, there's scenes that I can think back to in each of her books that I'm like, oh my god, that was so funny. This one I can't think of no. any specific scene, like no. again, like you said, other than like a few like very like hip lines, I think the or
mustard
whatever
thing,
like,
was that's what she was trying, because yeah. Samantha works for a mustard brand company and she kept yeah. all these puns.
It she was trying was to be like the good. Wendy's, you know, like the Wendy's yeah. Twitter account or something yeah. like that. But none of it, like for example, in the Dress for the Summer book, like the scene with the moms and the raccoons in their bras, yeah. or, you know, so, or like Daniel trying to take a dick pic, or
yeah,
yeah, stuff yes. like that. That's funny. But this one, I can't think of yeah. a single thing, you know, where I was like,
and I genuinely think that she thought that the pooter cat name no, girl, and the butthole funny. Thing was going to hit so hard. Like, girl, nobody wants potty humor in our adult contemporary romances. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry.
And it wasn't like fun yeah. potty sorry. Humor. It was like a cat that had like
that was like body, shitting through its urethra. Yeah, like yeah.
a body sounds, issue. Yeah, like, miserable. It was just, I feel bad for the cat. Like, I'm not laughing at that, no matter how like funny she tried to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like talking about like the actual like trauma of it. So like to recap, and I'm probably going to miss some of it. I'm probably going to miss because there was too much. First of all, starting out on their first date, homegirl gets her phone thrown into she drops it in the lake. So I'm like, when I was reading it back, I was like, okay, here's where it started. And then of course, like, you know, the long distance of it all, the long mm-hmm. distance of
getting
it all,
locked
locked in an escape room
all yes. night.
Okay.
With the same yeah, song so playing on repeat.
Oh my! Oh, I would kill myself. I fear, especially if it's Come On, Eileen. Yeah, yeah. Right now. So that's that. So then, like, mm-hmm. fast forward a little bit, because the long distance, I'm just counting it as one. You're lucky, Abby. That's only one.
Yeah.
And like the constant flights they have to take back and forth. Her yeah. mother has dementia. They're caring yes. for her. She is like, you know,
her
only
brother
getting
fucking
worse.
Sucks.
Her brother mm-hmm. kind of sucks. At least in the beginning, he gets a little better.
Her sister has a shitty husband.
Her sister or has ex-husband. A terrible husband. Yeah,
with
so she's
two
a single
kids
mother.
That are just mm-hmm. fucking there. Yeah.
Her grandmother dies. She
Which
loses
is
her
a lot
job.
Later. Yeah.
A lot later, yes.
Her dad is cheating.
Her dad starts cheating, which I have a whole
hate
opinion
that.
About.
Hate that.
Hate it.
Did you get
it.
She loses her job, Kinder? Kinder's counting on her fingers right now.
That's,
everything.
Yeah,
okay.
Loses her job.
And
yeah.
then they go and see each other when they both try to surprise each other.
I was going to say, that you one, cannot count that as a long distance thing. That one no. pissed me off.
I knew, oh. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you're not even, that's just with Samantha. A lot of the problems you're listening are just with Samantha.
Oh, with Xavier. Yeah,
Xavier's he's in so much debt with opening up this clinic. He has parents that don't give the horrible relationship with his parents. And so he opens this clinic, you know, to like prove to himself that he can do something and like prove it to them. And I just love that aspect because it's like, wow, he worked so hard and he loved the animals so much. Like he's not a people person. Mm-hmm. So how much he cared for animals just like really came through and I think showed like who mm-hmm. he was as a person. But he's like having difficulty with like keeping his clinic open. He's like working like hella jobs just to mm-hmm. Not only keep himself afloat, but then he enters into a long distance relationship. Plane tickets, like that's expensive.
He gave up a volunteer position that he really loved. He gave up a volunteer mm-hmm. position that he loved so that he'd work at an ER hospital to get more money because mm-hmm. so he was working two jobs. So yeah, that's just like, how many is that? That's like 15. 14 things
they
that
get
we just named.
What about
the
thing
know.
That they got yeah the time that they came and visit each other and got sick as fuck so they couldn't
oh yeah
hang out. They were
oh my
just
god
sick
yeah
the entire
they got
time.
Sick I yeah. oh my god
like that
yeah.
one pissed me off oh my god
okay
there are so many
what was the point where you guys were like okay this is too much for me it started when the grandmother died but then officially yeah. I was like okay Abby you have to stop is when the plane thing when they both tried to surprise each other and they were both in their partners' respective places. That's when I was like,
yeah,
this is
I lasted
bad.
A little longer.
Okay,
for me it was when the grandma died and it was also when the dad cheating plot line to me was just so stupid. And again, I think I can see what
added
she was
nothing.
Trying to do of like she probably talked to someone that like was like, hey, like something that happens when people are caring for people that have dementia is that they enter into new relationships, but they're still caring for their like previous partners. That's mm-hmm. great. That's real life. Babes, this is a romance book. I do not want to, especially because like there was no follow through with it and they kind of just like accept it. They're mad at it. And then like we move on. Like it just made me feel so icky. And then because I'm already feeling mm-hmm. so bad for this family. And then mm-hmm. like they had just lost a grandma. And actually, you know what really did it for me? It's when Samantha loses her job. That was mine too.
Yeah. Kendra, yeah. that was mine too. Kayla mentioned it, but that was mine too. When she got the phone call and then she called Xavier sobbing because she lost her job, I was like, are you fucking kidding me, Abby? Like, what the fuck?
And then she she works her ass off, gets another job offer that gets was her, like amazing. Yes. She sits her family down and is like, I'm going to get all these benefits. I'll be able to put mom in a home. Like, it's my dream job. Or I can sit here and take care of mom. Stop. This is the part where it's like, if people, I can't get too mad at it because like I know people that would do that. I personally, though, would have put my mother in a home because she would have had a better quality of life, because there were so many incidents with the mother where she was just like not being properly cared for because they were running around the house like with like their heads cut off like a chicken. They do this dumb like home renovation project to like help the mom, and then like it just never pans out, and it just like pissed me off so bad that like Samantha's family just kept making, in my opinion, dumb decisions when it came to her mother's care. But that's on how I would have handled the situation. But I know that there are people that no matter how many resources that they had, they do not want the care of their parents in the hands of other people. So like mm-hmm. That's the one part where I'm like, again, it pissed me off, mm-hmm. but I'm not gonna fight someone who's like, well, actually, like, here's what I would have done.
Yeah. Kendra, what was the thing from earlier? You said there was something that happened with Xavier's family that you hated. What was that thing?
Oh, well, it was the fact that he had to give up his clinic mm-hmm. uh-huh. because he worked mm-hmm. so hard and loved it so much. And like, it was like the final like thing, stick it to his parents. And mm-hmm. the fact that he like gave that up and could not have that satisfaction over these people that were like awful to him. I hate. And I feel like how she resolved that was so unrealistic and just super convenient for the plot. I just feel like Abby should have picked one. It was either mm-hmm. make this book about a caretaker taking care of her mom, but move her family to Minnesota. Okay. And so then that way eliminate the long distance of it all. And then it can still be a really great book about dating someone who's trying to be a kid. Helen Huang did it, you know, with the Heart Principle. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you have to remove the dementia aspect of it or make it way more of a side plot, and then it could have been a book about long distance relationships because I think that's really cool too. Like, you don't read a lot of long distance relationship. I don't think I can't name one so
because they're not very fun. Nobody wants to read about that because they're not fun.
A similar thing that we saw with a lot of responses was part of the things that people didn't like were a lot of the sacrifices specifically that Xavier mm-hmm. had to give up. Because, even though in the end he didn't have to shut down the Minneapolis location, it was just like...
That's his baby.
I just felt like he loved his staff, really terrible.
He was just so well appreciated. And, like, not just, like, at the clinic, but, like, in the community as a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just so well loved. And then I just get mad at Samantha's family all over again, because it's like, it's not like Samantha was an only child. Like, I think Abby could have put her in more of a corner if she was an only child and it was just her mom who was alive. Then I would have been more like empathetic towards her situation. But she had a dad who was too busy getting his dick sucked in a parking lot. And then a sister who had kids, yes, but like was also there willing to help. And the option to put the mother in a home, and Samantha could have made a sacrifice for. I just feel like Xavier gave up more, and I was waiting for Samantha and her family to be like, go back to Minnesota, like mm-hmm. you do you, we have mom, like we will all work together, like maybe you can come out here once a month or like once a, you know, like something like that, just because like, I hated that Xavier had to give that man almost like $1 million worth of debt, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was ridiculous, and I felt so bad for him. If he had nothing to lose in Minnesota, that's fine. But and not only that, he has a friend group that, because he had mm-hmm. such a bad relationship with his family, his friends were his family. He leaves them all behind to move somewhere completely new for a girl. And one of our listeners pointed it out. Mm-hmm. It was Alyssa Herf said it was too insta love. They maybe spent 20 days together in person total before they were getting engaged. And like, yes, like you can be on the phone and do all that stuff. But like when you put it into context like that, you're like, whoa. And this man gave up everything and then moves across the country. And there was no like, oh my God, you guys, I think about this all the time. Besides their first date, name another romantic thing between them. Yeah, because it was always cut short or half-assed or summarized. I'm like, the fact that we didn't even get to see them like on FaceTime, like getting to know each other really, or the text that they would send, it was always recapped to us. Like, oh, we texted, we called.
One of my favorite things about romance books is the mundanity of it all. And like the things that they do together that are just like normal ass things that feel so big because you're doing it with a person that you're in love with. And like, if Dana would have proposed to me like within a week of us moving in together, I would have said no, because I didn't know if he, like, what if the way he brushes his teeth on nights where we're not there for a weekend annoys the fuck out of me? Like, what if I don't like the way that he cleans? What if I don't like that? You know, like, there's so much you don't know about a person until you're like spending time, like extended periods of time, not even living together, but like being in the same place. Like, you don't have to live in the same space, but you have to be in the same place, in my opinion, for my relationship. Like, I would not have felt comfortable. I don't know, that's such a good point from our listener.
Going back to the Xavier sacrificing thing, like, I think often about how, you know, in Party World, spoiler for Party World, if you haven't read it, which if you haven't read it, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. But if at the end of that book, you know, Alexis, she does sacrifice, right? But she makes a compromise that she want, like, she likes, she wants to do this. And she, she was miserable anyway where she was. So like, it makes sense that she made that the sacrifice for her to live in Walk-On. Whereas if the opposite had happened, if Daniel had left Walk-On and lived in Minneapolis with Alexis, that would have made no sense. Feels like, whatsoever. Yeah. So exactly, that's what this, that's why I'm comparing that, because like, to me, it just like didn't make sense, because that was his baby. That was his everything. That's what he'd worked so hard for. And it just is crazy.
And because we were so busy trauma dumping, we didn't get to see Xavier fall in love with LA. Like, are you falling in love with the place that you're about to live your whole life? Like, are you excited to go there? What, like, beyond what Samantha is drawing you to that place?
It's so different. Like, okay, one thing I did like, Samantha lived in Glendale. That's where I lived when I lived in LA. Yeah. So, like, there's a moment where they go to Brand Park, and I was like, oh my God, like, Brand Park, like, I knew, I could tell y'all exactly where she lives. Like, that part was cool. Like, they go to the Trader Joe's. You guys, that Trader Joe's, I used to live at that Trader Joe's. Oh my God. One thing that a listener sent in that I just saw that was really funny. She goes, not her best. Lots of TikTok, book talk references, heavy on the Insta love. There are five in all caps, five airports in the greater Los Angeles area, so they could have found flights cheap enough to see each other more often. I also think Samantha was selfish and didn't make sacrifices like Xavier did, lol. I'm trying to think, what airport did Xavier keep flying into? Because dead ass,
LAX.
And so again, I'm like, I'm glad that she said five airports. If you are living in Glendale, California, if to all my Southern California baddies, if you're living in Glendale, California, and you're constantly flying in, you're not flying into LAX unless it's like your last resort. You're flying into Burbank. Oh my God, that would have made their life so much. And maybe they may have done that once or twice, like, but that,
I mean, look,
that is just the
drive from LAX to get, because I used to live 15 minutes from Kendra, as mentioned at the top of this episode. So I lived in Pasadena, so to get from LAX up there, an hour.
Yeah,
like an hour in, if traffic, there's no traffic, maybe 40 minutes. Maybe, yeah, but it's an hour. Like, and there's always traffic in LA. Yeah. There's never not traffic in LA. You'll fly at, you'll be flying out at 5 a.m. and get there at 3 a.m. and then you're still sitting in traffic coming out of LAX. Like,
but like she said, there are five other airports. So like the money aspect of it all, like they could have found cheaper flights. He was never staying for long. Like, Spirit Airlines,
get a Delta credit card. Yeah, get those,
like,
points.
Do something. Like, it just, I do think Samantha could have made more sacrifices. But then I'm like, well, it's her mom, you know, like, and that's one thing with Samantha that she, and I like that Abby did this, even though it hurt my soul, was when Samantha, when we first meet Samantha's mom, her mom never does not recognize her anymore. And there's not a single moment. I was waiting for it to happen. Like, cause I, you know, the cliche, like, oh, like the final time, there's not a single moment in the book where Samantha's mom remembers her. And I just know that that like really hurts. And I think a lot of people could relate to that, because you never know when it's going to be the last time with someone that has memory loss issues. And like, even thinking about that now, I'm like, that I would hate to experience that. So
yeah,
yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, outside of the Samantha Xavier stuff, I think the thing that just, like, I keep thinking about that really pissed me off was the dad thing. Like, I just don't understand. Like, when you said, Kendra, like, you know, maybe she's talked to people where that happens, I think the part that particularly makes me angry is that he was sneaking off in the middle of the night to go do all this. And I'm like, what? You know, like, who are you seeing at, like, 2 a.m?
And, like, it caused an accident for her mom, too. Yeah. Like, with the door unlocked and his mom got hurt.
Yes, and I'm just like, what are you doing? It just felt so, like, icky to me. Yeah. Like, you know, if he had been honest about it, and he had done it in the middle of the day, not, like, when you're going to go do a drug deal in the middle of the night. You know, like, it just, the whole thing was just, like, I don't like this at all, actually. So.
Yeah, and I do think that it, like, part of what made it feel so icky to me as well is the fact that her mom got hurt. Like, not only are you doing this and, like, I don't know how to, like, word it, because I'm sure this is, like, a real thing that happens and it's complex and everything, but, like, in the book, like, you're not only are you, like, sleeping with somebody who's not your wife, but you're doing it in such a careless way that your wife is getting hurt because you left the door unlocked and you left her in a vulnerable position. She woke up and you weren't there. Like, ugh.
And then I get mad and then I just get even more mad at the dad, because it's like, your daughter moved back home to help take care of your wife and is like now going to be her full-time caretaker, because, like, you're older, I get that, but you are going to go off and, like, have a whole other girlfriend and, like, again, not put your wife in a home, a care facility with professionals who you have the money to pay for to care for her round the clock. Like, if Samantha was in a position where that was just not a possibility, then it's like, okay, yeah. But I just, like, Abby presented her with too many resources for her not to have thought smarter.
Consider it more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least weigh the options more.
This is not to say that Samantha's dad didn't deserve a break or, like, to enjoy life. That's not what we're saying. He didn't have to be 24/7, you know, like, always just watching her. That's why they had shifts. That's the whole reason that they did that whole thing. But, like, just the way that it happened, I think, was so, I just didn't like it. Yeah. It just felt kind of gross to me.
Yeah. We didn't really resolve it. Right. I feel like cheating, no matter how it's presented in a romance book, there's always going to be some. So even when I read it, as, like, side plots, right. Where, like, a side character is cheating. What's that book? It's actually by Nina Kumar. There's a cheating side plot, but it gets, like, resolved. Like, there's consequences, like, to it, and you explore them no matter. And I just think in this one there was nothing like that, and it's romance, and cheating's already controversial in romance, so it's like, for you to just throw that in there and people are already off because you keep whacking these two, like, over and 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 over again. I just felt like Cardin when he wrote Jude's name, like, on that.
Jude.
That was Abby writing trauma.
We still don't even, like, know what ended up happening with that. Like you said, there's no resolution to it. Like, in the epilogue, there's nothing mentioned about what the dad, you know, is doing. Yeah. So it's just like, what was the point? You know, like, had that not happened, I mean, there still would have been too much trauma, but, like, nothing would have changed. You know, so, like, I just didn't feel like it was totally necessary. I guess it was just, like, trying to show each person, her brother, her sister, her dad, how they each were dealing with the respective, you know, problems that they were trying to work through with the mom. But we've talked about it a lot, but
I think the most, like, this family dynamic reminded me somewhat of the family that she painted in Life's Too Short, and, like, all of their issues, because, like, you in that one you had a brother that was also very flighty, the sister in Life Too Short is going through a really rough time, and then, like, the dad is, like, a hoarder and going through so much. But there was just such a better balance in that book. And again, you got these, like, deeply romantic moments between the two main characters, so then I could reference that, and everything with her family, which is, like, it felt like a side plot. All this, like, because Samantha was so ingrained in everything that was happening, it all just felt like main, and it affected them so much. And I wish we got to spend more time with Xavier's friends, like, a little bit, because we knew how important they were from him from the jump, and, like, he would reference it and they would talk about it, but We just never did. She did say that we were going back to Minnesota, and I'm like, thank God. Because you know one thing I just realized? Friend Zone, California. Happy Ever After playlist, California. And then this book, California. So maybe that it's a heavy curse. If she's going to set a book in California, it's going to be bad. But if it's in Minnesota, she's riding on her home turf. Oh my God. Amazing. At least.
Life's Too Short was Minnesota. Oh yeah. 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 Of course it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So she was in that's what she has to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. Wow. And obviously our feelings about this book are not going to keep us from reading Abby in the future.
No.
Oh my God. Never.
No. Yeah. And we're not going to tell anybody not to read her. Like, we're still going to shout about the books we love from her from the rooftops.
Yeah. It doesn't at all change about how I feel about the Party of World series. That's always going to stay the exact same. 100%.
Yeah. I just think it's like so, like, fun isn't the right word, but it's like so interesting that somebody who can write some of our favorite books ever can also write a book that we didn't care for. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like reading is so fun.
Yeah. It's so fun. And like, I said this earlier, it wasn't an Emily Henry level crash out for me. Oh my God, we will be doing an episode on Great Big Beautiful Life. We are so excited, and we're gonna do something very similar. So go to our Patreon and our Instagram, whichever one that you want to share your thoughts on Great Big Beautiful Life about. Or if you go to our Patreon, you can share earlier and a little bit more in depth with us, and we can talk with you in real time. But we will be doing a whole episode on Great Big Beautiful Life, and I cannot wait, because that is another, well, as of this recording, it's not out yet, but that is another divisive book amongst readers, especially Emily Henry loyalists. I've been you know, so about her books for a while now, but I've seen some like true Emily Henry girlies be like, this is not it. And I've seen some Emily Henry, not haters, I don't know, not as big of fans, be like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I cannot wait to talk about this. But say remember, Abby, I will be seated for the next one. I really hope she gets back to working with Zachary Weber. Kayla, you liked the guy. I just could not get into him. I think I was just so salty.
I thought he was fine. I think he's good. I was sort of familiar with his previous work, so I already knew who he was. Okay. Yeah. So that might have helped. But I thought I because like it was also her first duet audiobook.
I think that was throwing me too. I don't know.
Oh really? I thought the audio was good, and I to be clear, I want Zachary Weber back. I love that man. You know, I thought it was good. The book itself, it didn't help the book itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for her next book, she did reveal the title already. And she like revealed it on like podcasts and at events, but I totally forgot what it's called.
I didn't know that.
But she said that this is one that she actually started working on before Sailor Remember Me, but it's taken her like 2 or 3 years to actually finish it. Like, she was struggling with it for a while, but she it's like one that she has been really, really wanting to do for a long time. She just couldn't quite figure out how to make it work. So okay. I'm really curious to see
we'll be seated
And it's one of his friends arc,
we're banging on your door forever. I did say she will be going back to Minnesota, which makes me happy. So guys, Minnesota book, fingers crossed. it'll be good. Like, and maybe that's why she didn't spend too much time with his friends in this book, because she didn't want to write herself into a corner with anything, maybe. So, I don't know. But I did like his friend group, what we got of them. Now I'm just, well, maybe I'm not too sad, but, like, I just know we won't see Xavier and Samantha. Like, they're just so far removed.
They're going to come back for something. They're going to come back to check on his clinic. Yeah. And
because even
she'll find a way.
Even with, like, the Friends on Happily Ever After playlist, because those are L.A. books, even though they're L.A. books, they still have family that is based in Minnesota. So, like, they go back. And that's how they make their cameo in Life's Too Short, because they're all hanging out. Or, like, they move back. Something like that. But,
well, guys, this was a good discussion. I really loved seeing all the differing opinions from our listeners. And seeing what everybody really loved about it or what they didn't love about it. This is a divisive book, but, like, I'm not bothered by it, and I don't think any of us are, and so we'll be seated no matter what for The Night We Met. We're really excited to see what she does next, and make sure you head on over to our Patreon, which again just launched today. We're so excited to grow that, you guys. So any support is helpful support, whether it's just here on Spotify or Apple or on Patreon or on our Instagram or whatever. We really, really appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tontandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.